Well, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, and good night. I don't know what time you're listening to this, but we are here, Life Origami Podcast. My name's Greg Dixon.
And Amethyst Dixon.
Amethyst. Amethyst is my business partner, my wife, my co-collaborator, conspirator, getting in trouble with person. So here we are, once again. So this week, we've got a number of interesting topics we're excited to be talking to you about. And it's kind of thinking it's going to be Transitions Week. Kind of talk about, but today we're talking about transitioning from the empty nest and how we can create a second act, so to speak. And that when the kids move out, your life's not over.
It's just beginning.
It's just beginning. So you've paid your price. You paid the dues. You've been to jail.
Don't say
you got
that.
The t-shirt.
Don't say that.
Oh, okay.
They're just little, wonderful little monsters.
Wonderful little monsters, yeah. You got the t-shirt. You've been there. You showed up for your family over and over and over again. And you've...
Everything revolved around family.
Yeah, and you know, I'm going to be speaking about it from my perspective as a man, and I'm sure you'll, as being a father, I'm sure you'll have a different perspective talking about it from a woman's perspective, I would think.
And having more, you had one child,
I had one.
I was a rabbit, I had four.
You had four. So between us, we had five, so it's like a nickel.
All
right. So, yeah, I guess the thing that I've been thinking about this because we're both kind of been going through our empty nest for a while, but it's been kind of a progressive thing. But sometimes the nest is empty, but then they like to come back. Or, hey,
can I borrow some money? That's the one I get.
Yeah.
And I just go, la, 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 la.
But we think it's the perfect time to be stepping into your second act. And yeah, there's no question that there are significant adjustments to be made. And this week we're talking about, this is transitions, talking about transitions. But we really think that the biggest challenge for me personally has been to think about what I want. Because I tended to always not think about what I wanted, or even I would never even think about what I wanted, because I would just end up disappointed.
I thought that what I wanted was the same as what I was doing and when I had a family, and it didn't occur to me that there'd be no new stuff and that I would move on, have different interests. The person I was when I first started having babies was a different person by the time they all grew up. And my oldest was 11 years older than the youngest. So she grew up and left. And I remember what that was like the first time any of my kids left. But I still had the other three at home, right? So I was still mom and still in the groove of doing what moms do and going to work and having a business and going to school and all those things. But then the divorce happened and the kids grew up and then I was at the state where, what do you do after divorce and what do you do as an empty nester?
Which we're going to talk about in, tomorrow.
About
divorce.
The
about
divorce.
Transitioning after divorce.
Yeah.
But we think that this is the time that you should be really looking at indulging your whims and give yourself, like, be your own genie. Grant yourself three wishes that you might not have been able to afford financially or time-wise. Now, it's pretty tough. If you're going to look at it from that perspective, you can't use the time excuse anymore. I don't have time. There's no time. There's no time. I got to cook dinner. I got to wash the floor. I got to swab the decks.
I was just about to say that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been learning from you. And so, you know, you can't use time, but finances, you know, you may not have unlimited finances, but if you really desire something, you can, with the right financial plan, you can make it happen. You can find the money. You can make the money. So there really aren't any of the big, typical, normal reasons and excuses we had to procrastinate.
Now we have new ones.
Tell me about that. Excuse me. We have new ones.
Well,
you have
it's about ones. Giving yourself permission to go after what you want, or to even muse about something, doing something different. Like perhaps you want to go back to school. You know,
Who goes back to school
all
at your age?
Stories, yeah, exactly.
You know, who's going to
want? You're going to be competing against those 25-year-olds coming out of college. Who's going to want to hire an old fart? You know.
Right, well,
which could be over 30 years old for a 25-year-old.
Some of us are more farty than others. But, you know, we think the biggest... But what you're really, I think, speaking to is that the biggest challenge would be to choose. To actually choose to do something for yourself. That, at least from my perspective.
I think also you have to change your mentality of being the mother who stays at home for the kids, or is just needs to feel useful and needed in order to feel worthy of something.
Mm.
And you have to let go of that. I had to let go of it. Took a long time, that just because I wasn't needed by those kids in the same capacity,
right,
doesn't mean that I have no value. And it took a while to figure out, you know, what... Who am I? What do I want? And what are my qualities now? You know, it wasn't about... I used to live... Everything was for the kids.
Through the kids,
everything,
yeah.
Did, you know. Like, 3 o'clock rolled around, you stopped shopping, and you had to get home because the kids are coming home from school.
And you had to start thinking and planning what's going to be for din-din.
Yeah, you couldn't watch TV without a hushed tone because the baby's in bed or something. And then they grow up and... You go to the movies and you find yourself, you can't laugh out loud because you think you're going to wake the baby up.
Yeah, sorry about that. If you've got children and a baby, you probably aren't listening to this, but
you're busy whispering.
Transitioning from an empty nest, but you've got your nest has just got filled. Thank you very much. You know, I was thinking about that though, is that we go from being mommy to mom to mother, from daddy dad to father as the kids age, you know. And I think, because one of the things I've had to do mentally ascend to is to stop responding like daddy or dad, but to think as a father, to think of myself as an older male. Fathering an adult child is a very different kettle of fish than the rescuing tendencies that I used to have.
I like to think of it as working on the business rather than in the business.
Instead of getting in their business, you're working around their business.
You're giving them a hand up to help themselves, and you're letting them go through their own learning curve.
Right.
You know, so you're not there rescuing them anymore, and you know the umbilical cord has been cut. And it's time to let them go on and do their thing. And you know what? They're expecting you to do the same thing. They don't want to be at home worrying about whether you're lonely or if you're sitting there waiting for them to call. They
right.
want you to have a life. And, you know, so they don't want that responsibility. They want to just get out and live their own life and be thinking about themselves and what they want. And
not thinking about
and,
us. Right.
Yeah, and they expect us to go on and do the same thing. So we have to reinvent ourselves just like they do as a teenager or a young adult going out on their own.
Yep.
We have to reinvent ourselves too. We have to figure out who are we now today, not who were we 5 years ago, but today, now that they've moved out. And sometimes it takes 5-10 years after they move out for you to finally give yourself permission to try something new and maybe do something like go on a vacation without telling them. And then let them know after, maybe at Christmas time.
Right.
You know, oh, by the way, you know, we did a trip around the world or whatever it was in 30 days.
One time I was in Costa Rica and we were exploring and the pyramids and got a phone call from home and had a conversation and didn't tell them we were out of the country.
Yeah.
They didn't know. Now, but the thing that I think we want to talk about the gap. Mind the gap, because when the kids move out or when they go to college or whatever, there's a gap period.
You're talking about that void?
Yeah, there's a void. There's a gap. Which side of the gap are you on? If the kids are if your nest isn't quite empty and they're about to go to college or about to move out or getting married and they're moving out permanently, there's a gap. There's going to be a period of time, maybe like you call it the gap year, where it's probably going to be like, oh my God, it's so quiet. This is so awesome. And you find lots of projects to do, cleaning projects, men would be fixing up projects and stuff. But after you run out of projects, you know, after a period of time, when you're on the other side of the gap, that's where I think the real identity crisis hits.
On which side of the gap? The beginning of it? Or?
On the other side of the gap. So let's take a case where the kids are getting married. The kids get married and they move out on their own. Now the house is empty. It's just me and the wife, and you know, and we're alone. So there's that year of adjustment.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
yeah.
There's the year of adjustment, the year of transition. Where you're getting used to, you're not having to get up and shake the bed and squirt them with water to get their asses into college or high school or whatever, right? No, you don't have to do the 3 o'clock hustle,
yeah,
right? Hustle up some grub and that sort of thing. The entire routine, it's like somebody takes your life and turns it upside and turns it upside down and shakes it and throws it out on the floor. And it looks like dog's breakfast. But there's that gap here. So there's this transition period. On the other side of the gap, I think that's when the true identity crisis begins to set in. Because now, by this time, you've settled into a new routine of some sort.
I think at that point, then you start to wonder, there's got to be something more. And
exactly.
This just doesn't seem to be enough anymore. I'm just getting by and I want to thrive instead of just survive as a empty nester. And,
right. So those are all normal feelings. It's normal to begin thinking that way and questioning things. And, you know, and I think that, you know, because as caregivers, like we learn to put our family's needs ahead of our own needs.
Oh, yeah, that's right, too. And
so we lived a lot of our life in denial of our desires, stuffing them away because there are always other priorities, other pressing needs. You're just trying to not to hold some money for some unexpected expense, they need braces you got to write a $3,000 check to the dentist or some damn thing they need their wisdom teeth removed, and then because when they remove their wisdom teeth, they turn normal because they don't have all that pain. They get their personality back. They stop being a pain in the you know what.
And I guess they're not know it alls then too. Once those wisdom teeth are
gone. Well, one could hope.
Well, just think about it. A couple months ago, we went and bought you some clothes. And you're like, oh, should I get the blue ones or the black pants?
Yeah, and you said
and
both.
And I said both, and why don't you get two of each?
Yeah, and it's like, she gets some socks, and it's like we bought the most expensive socks.
Yeah, you right said now. I have socks. And yeah, you do, but they don't match your purse and your shoes, so.
Oh, really?
Not literally.
There you go. But you see, but that's a. I'm glad you brought that up because that's still the greatest challenge for me, even today. It's like a decade. this August. It'll be a decade for me being in an empty nest.
Hmm.
This August. And, you know,
I can't remember that far back.
Well, what do you, 2009.
My first one left in 2003.
2003,
and
wow.
And then the last one, well, I left.
But you still had kids at home, though.
Right.
Where it's
and
empty.
Then I was divorced, and so I actually, the kids stayed with their father. So they didn't leave home till,
yep.
at whatever point it I kind of was slammed into it head on, you know.
Yeah, because I
all three of them at once.
Yeah, the empty nest happened simultaneously. Not only did I was an empty nest, I was divorced. I was single now, and so life seemed pretty simple. I did whatever I wanted.
Did you? When my oldest one left. I sat there, I swear, all night. She used to have her bedroom was downstairs in the basement, and I sat there in the family room on that couch.
Yeah.
All night. And
to?
Because she was gone.
Yeah. Trying to reconnect?
I don't know. I think I was in shock or something.
That's a very good point.
We're so quiet. Because
we kind of gleaned over that part of the gap. When the gap first occurs, it's a big goddamn adjustment. It seems
and
catastrophic.
And scared of what is going to happen to her, and is she going to be able to take care of herself, and where is she now, and how is she spending her money, and you know, is she safe, and is she eating properly, and is she going to need me? What's going to happen in the future, you know?
Yeah.
Who am I now to her?
Why
did she
what?
Leave so early? Was it something I did? Or,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it wasn't really early. She had graduated from high school.
Wow.
And she had girlfriends, and they were going to go out on their own, and she was in college. And
big adventure.
For her, it was.
Gigantic
for me, it was
adventure.
Like,
and it was a natural progression of her maturation. Of her growing up.
I think that time frame is like a grieving period for an empty nester. Because some parents will get depressed.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because we might have glossed over that. Because, yeah, there is that adjustment, that shock, the grieving. It's that the emptiness, the quietness of the house.
And then they come back to visit.
Right.
And it just goes by so quick. It's like they might come by for the holiday season in the wintertime.
Different holidays, yeah.
They come and they're there. They can only take so much time off school or work, and then they're gone again. And it's like you try to suck up every little bit of them that you can.
Right.
And
so,
then they're gone.
And so
for
then,
a year.
Yeah, and it's very easy for us to fall into being needing them, wanting them, and for them to feel... You know, it'd be pretty easy for them to start to feel smothered.
We're just pushing them away by being needy.
Right.
So, you know, if something is maybe not going so well for them, it's also hard to step back and not be giving them advice or saying, oh, you can't get up early in the morning, I'll give you a call.
Right.
And I'll call you every 10 minutes. Like they don't have an alarm clock, right? You know, it's like when you used to get...
time to get up.
It's like when I used to try and get the boys out of bed for school, nothing would wake them until I dumped, you know, sprayed them with a spray bottle with water. And then they wake up right away. Well, you can't do that when they're gone. You can't...
Yeah.
You got to worry about whether they're going to get their butts out of bed and get to work on time. It's their... life, and they suffer the consequences if they don't get out of bed and get to work on time. So I had to learn.
And it's that thinking, that line of thought you just shared there, it's that thinking that we have to break ourselves from. And now what if we gave ourselves that much care and attention that you just described? That we would spray ourselves to wake ourselves up, to get ourselves
set our own
out of the
alarm
bed,
clock.
Set our own alarm clock, make plans, go do things. And probably most important is you know, don't be the couch potato, sit on the couch and wait for the kids to come home. and wondering where they are and pining for them to actually go out and live your life. Because the other thing, that is not spoken about a lot from an empty nest is part of the emptiness is loneliness. One of the best ways to not be lonely is to make yourself busy. So, you know, when you start to feel lonely, pick up the phone and call a friend. When you start to feel lonely, get your ass out and go to a coffee shop. Phone up a friend and say, let's meet for coffee. Or, you know, if you're interested in writing, sign up for a creative writing course. If you're interested, if you always wanted to take some time to do more sewing, you know, take a sewing class, buy some fabric. Like,
yeah, and
don't allow yourself to feel alone and lonely, but keep yourself occupied. I think
I remember that one time we went to Banff, and it was about 4:35 o'clock, and I'm thinking, oh, we better get going home now, because, you know, usually we'd leave that time because we'd have to. It took, 4 hours to drive home, and with the kids, they'd be grumpy.
They wanted to
be home by bedtime, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So 4:30 rolled around, and I'm thinking, we got to go back to the car, right?
Yeah.
And
I remember you telling me that.
And so we decided we were going to go looking in shops because they were still open, and we were going to go and drink coffee and watch all the millennials sitting there right next to one another on their phones. None of them are having conversations. They're all on their iPhones.
Yeah, they're all huddled around a table looking at their phones but not talking to each other.
Yeah, we were the only ones that were just sitting there without our phones, just enjoying ourselves, having a coffee.
We were oogling the kids. We were
having fun.
With people watching.
But it was nice just watching the kids, too. They weren't ours.
Right.
But, you know, that's the best part, is they're not yours.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then finally we got to a certain time, and then we said, well, let's just head on out to our hotel, and we did. But there's that whole feeling of finally getting to do those things that you wanted to do, but it's a matter of choosing to do them and maybe to explore different things that maybe you're bored with the old stuff, and you can explore new things. And one of the things I used to say is, if you want to make friends, because we usually don't have a lot of time to make friends while we're running around after the kids, you can join clubs or groups where they're doing things that you like to do, and then you'll meet other people like yourself, maybe some other empty nesters, and you can start doing adult things.
Adult things. We can adult ourselves.
We can become adult.
We can adulterate. Adulting ourselves. So in terms of the gap, though, in minding the gap, so initially there's the anxiety, the sense of loss, maybe even some anger, and the tension. About the tension of being alone, that sense of being alone.
Yeah, then maybe there's being angry about it too. It's like, okay, what about me? You guys can go off on your own and have a life, and now what about me? I gave up all my life to be around the kids, and now what?
Yeah.
You might feel you've been abandoned.
It was really interesting. We were at that place of business here this week, and this young lady says, oh, hi, Mom, what are you doing here? And Mom says, what are you doing here? And then, well, Mom, I'm busy. I got to go. See you later. It was really weird. Interesting exchange. There was definitely some tension there. But then there's the now what gap. Within the gap, there's now the now what do I do, right? And then there is, you know, then I think after that, you could choose to do some research, poke around. You could try, you could experiment. Experiment and be frivolous. You know, do some things you maybe never did before. Experiment, do some things, be frivolous, and then you can plan. You know, plan what you want to do. Because I know when I experienced this gap, and you know, after a while, I did for 4 or 5 years. I did a lot of travel. I played around with toys like motorcycles and things like that. I went exploring around, and I'd do things. And I'd wake up, you know, when I was traveling, I'd get up with the sun. I went to bed with the sun. And but the problem, the other problem was, is that because I was also, not only was I empty nest, I was kind of semi-retired. The other problem I had, all my friends were working. They had jobs. I was the only one that didn't have to work.
Self-employed? Oh,
because I was
self-retired.
But I was semi-retired. You know, 2010 to 2015. It's basically, you know, about 4.5 years. I didn't work. I had no work. I just used my money and did what I wanted to do. So a lot of my friends, they work. So if you retire early, one of the things, one of your gaps is that your social, you have to build a new social circle. Right? You have to build a new social circle because a lot, if you retire a bit early, or you had your kids early, you're going to be empty nesting early while your friends, if they had their kids late, they still got their kids in junior high and high school. And it's you know, so those common bonds that bring us together evaporate. So it's really about minding the gap. Where are you in the gap? What are you feeling? What are you experiencing? And observing where you're at in the gap. Which side of the gap are you on? Are you in the middle of the gap? Or do you choose, are you just going to kind of try to fly over the gap? And
you hear a lot about couples that don't really know who each other are anymore.
Ooh,
and
it's a big topic.
Because they ran after family all that time, and then they feel like they've grown apart. And so a lot of people will divorce when that happens.
Because the bridge was the kids.
Right. Or they go the other way and they start dating again and getting to know one another. Out they're both exploring who they are now, but they're also exploring who they are together as a couple. They may not be that same couple that they were before they had the kids. They've got a lot more maturity and wisdom. They've got more experience in life and experience trying different things to see what they might like. And there may have been things they wanted to do together as a couple, like go dancing or, like you said, travel. Or maybe they want to do something with the yard. They're going to take down the swing set and put a garden out there. Or, you know, there's so many changes that happen in our life, but a big one is couples.
Yeah, the relationship changes. I'm really glad you brought that up. That's a very good point. There was, I remember overhearing an older lady talking about that her husband better not ever bloody well retire because she thinks she'd probably kill him. She couldn't stand to be around him that much. You better be busy there, Marvin. You keep yourself busy.
Marvin.
You get out there, you fix the fence. You know, you plow the field. Don't you, you know, you get out of the house. This is my house. You get out.
Or they start nagging the kids to have babies so they can be grandparents.
Well, then there's that, yeah.
They want to go straight from being a mother to being a grandmother.
Yeah, and so where is your time? Who are you? Like, you're literally trying to replace, replicate that attachment through the grandchildren. But if you, without that attachment, if you didn't pursue that, you would have to, the other part of the crisis in the gap is you have to face the reality that you're not the same person, your body's not the same, you don't have the same energy, but there are still things you want to do. Like what's your second act going to be? You know, if you're a career person and you retire, and you have an empty nest and the kids move out, you can have a second act. There's a second act to life after kids. After any major change, we have this transition year, this transition gap. In that gap, what are you going to do? And that's a lot of why we create our program, Mastering the Art of Momentum, because we created this program because we wanted to create a holistic personal development program that would teach people, that would provide our clients with all the skills they needed so that they could continue to navigate forward in life and create some momentum. But and one of the key things is to look at what do I want now? What do I want more of? What do I want less of? We talk about that in our program. We go through, it's amazing how deep we have to dive, how many layers we have to pull back, because we've piled on so many layers of expectations and attachments. So just going and, you know, there's nothing wrong with being a grandparent. But to go and create a whole new identity, and I've seen women who then, rather than the daughter hire a babysitter, the grandmothers do the babysitting. And the kid will come in the morning, daughter comes, picks up her child, you know, after work, and grandma gets to be grandma. But again, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But is that all you want for your life? What else? What more? What would you do? If you could, what would you do?
I guess you can't take an airplane ride somewhere if you don't know your destination. So you got to figure out what it is that you want, and then you can start, the vision will come, and then at that point you can start making plans.
Because my recommendation is, because I've been through retirement three times in my life, my recommendation is you take 3 to 6 months without any expectations of yourself, without making any plans, to try and play around with a few different things, but don't make any commitments, don't make any major decisions, because you're going to have to parachute. You want to have a soft landing into the transition, into the shift, because we carry around this identity of being mom, right? Being a parent. Well, now we're still a parent, but we're now mother or father, not mommy and daddy.
Yeah, it's far different one from the other.
Yeah. So that's what we wanted to talk about today. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about navigating the transition after the end of a relationship or divorce, or I suppose a big transition where maybe you quit a job, you quit a career, change your career, but mostly we're going to be talking about divorce and talk about ending of relationships and how do you transition and start again. So with that in mind, we'll close out today's session. And again, if you have any particular questions, any particular observations, things you'd like to hear from us, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear more, because we want this podcast to be interesting, engaging. If you have questions, ideas, suggestions, or topics you'd like us to cover, we'd love to hear from you. So you can reach out to us at LifeOrigami on Twitter, at LifeOrigami on Twitter, on Facebook. And if you want, you can also use a thing called a telephone. You can reach Greg at 403-307-8281. If you'd like to call Amy, you can call at that number, and I'll pass the phone over. So I hope you have a really great day. Stay tuned. Lots coming for you this week.